music, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Vince, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 22nd on the West Coast, now September the 23rd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, and cut straight to the chase tonight, bring on tonight's guest. He is an environmental scientist, also an herbalist, a historian, a former chemist, probably still a chemist. I don't think you ever stop being one when you are one. You just look for other ways to apply your skills. And a musician, frequent guest on Evident Footprints over the past 3 years, my good friend, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Don. Thank you. Great to be back.
Well, how is it going now with all this excitement that's taking place all over the country? We've got wildfires, and we've got people being elected to the final stage of maybe what is going to be their new political career. Being upstaged by the media, attacked by the media. Of course, I'm speaking about the O'Donnell candidate that suddenly hit the news. We have Tea Party people who are being attacked by the media, basically, is what I'm saying. And that's probably disconcerting for some people. It never seems to end, does it?
No, and it really won't until we clean house totally, Don. Can't be surprised by that type of activity because, of course, as we all know, if you're hitting home, you're getting close to exposing the truth constantly, then you're on their radar screen and they're going to send out whatever they can to try to interfere with any of the attempts by real, honest Americans to get the truth out, or to try to get into positions of government that will undermine their activity, which is, of course, all this global United Nations, one world order, one world government system, one world currency system. And so that's all to be expected. And at the same time, as always, when we hear about such noble people trying to do the right thing, we have to always send prayers their way, whoever they are, even though we don't know them. And once we know their name, we can always just put a good word in through prayer activity, just asking the good Lord to constantly bless and encourage all types of people, all those types of people out there that are doing these kinds of positive actions. So, that's about what our game plan has to remain to be until we totally turn tables with these obviously very low-life type of individuals that are running our government and the whole world right now.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing, Michael, when we look back at this last election, and you remember many of the campaign promises that we got. They've been broken by virtually every candidate, maybe save the ones that may have said, we have to raise taxes, we have to come up with more ways to make money for ourselves is what they really mean. The expansion, the unbridled expansion of the government, the bureaucracies, and the wasteful spending of the public's money, and of course this is done out of thin air. Everything is being assigned, it's assigned debt. It's assumed that people are going to pay for all these things. I don't have the list in front of me, but what you reminded me of was this list that came out where they were going to spend so many million dollars on studying the sex life of some monkeys and, you know, those types of programs.
That's right. All what they call pork barrel spending in the old days, Don. That's what they used to call all that. And, of course, a lot of that type of government program, funded U.S. taxpayer programs, they're usually all nepotism or cronyism projects where they're just siphoning money and giving it to family and friends with lame, supposed lame research projects. How fast does ketchup flow? Or the one you just mentioned as well, Don, and all these lame, lame, unscientific, unscientifically merited supposed research programs. And, yep, but the bottom line, Don, just like you said, they're wasting our money, valuable resources, money, and all our other resources. They're just wasting it. Here we are in a clearly a depressed type of economy. A lot of people out there struggling, barely trying to make ends meet, able to make ends meet while they try. And here you have the audacity of our representatives in government just going on like everything's fine, just keep wasting money. And what really still annoys me to no end is all the billions of dollars we give away to foreign countries instead of keeping it home where it belongs.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Don, when it comes to insanity and wasteful spending, our representatives in our current government are the poster childs for that activity.
Yeah. I had, you know, I thought I had saved this list because I was going to read it one night to my listening audience. And, well, I didn't. I either didn't save it or I put it aside somewhere. But it was ridiculous. I mean, I guess we could invent some programs for them. You know, it would be like studying the mating habits of the boll weevil or the dung beetle. You know.
Yeah, I got a good one, Don. We ought to conduct a research into studying how these loser congressmen and senators constantly work on promoting very extensive legislation consisting of thousands of pages that they never read and they never even write, and yet they promote it constantly and try to push it through to enact it as laws in our land. Boy, that should be worth millions of dollars to study that. We can go on for years researching and studying how these people get engaged in insane activity and justify it to their constituents, to the American people. That would be one heck of a research paper.
Yeah, it would.
I wonder if we can file for some grant money to start studying this.
Well, yeah, you know, now, doesn't a research paper ultimately have to have a mentor? And then again, you're entering back into the arena where people are paid to push a certain policy, whether it's a political ideology or what have you. You know, I don't talk about Oprah Winfrey very much, but often there's something in a name. And the name Oprah, I'm just speaking about the name Oprah, not talking about the person so much, but the name Oprah is Harpo backwards, okay? And when you think of Harpo, who do you think of? Harpo Marx, right?
True.
There's, Marx, M-A-R-X, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That we have the Marx brothers and we had Karl Marx. And Oprah has always been a proponent of Barack Obama, and I wonder why. What is it about Oprah Winfrey knowing who Barack Obama is, but the rest of the world doesn't? How is it that such, you know, this person in the limelight becomes sort of the mentor publicly, you know, the public relations advertiser and spokesperson for this character that was made out of thin air? And as we just started making all the comparisons, and the role that in the media that Oprah Winfrey plays, I mean, she's very powerful, but they use her to sell products. They use her to promote products. We spoke about the wonderful benevolent donation of 200 Pontiac automobiles to the members of her studio audience on a given day, and they celebrated this as some fantastic charitable event,
right,
you know, to enrich the lives of these people that sat through a taping of this show in a Chicago studio.
She just cares so much.
Yeah. What they didn't tell people is that she hadn't bought the vehicles and that they were going to pay something like 50% tax on it. Even if it wasn't that high, it was a substantial amount of money that these people didn't have. So what
is the recipients of these free supposed free automobiles were going to pay a tax?
Yeah, yeah, they had to, and they were trying to sell them or give them away for the purpose of not being caught in that loophole. Now, but did the media really tell anybody what was going on? You know, it was the alternative media that brought the truth about that story. So what that event became was a public relations stunt to the benefit of Pontiac, who is whom? GM. Was it any coincidence that the government under Obama took over GM, hijacked it, raided the pension fund, and then created this cash for clunkers program that
and
drove...
And also bailed them out and gave them billions of dollars again, compliments the U.S. taxpayer.
Yes, exactly. Yes, and it sounds like Captain Kirk is trying to get in touch with us tonight. Oh, it's amazing. But see, if you look beneath the surface, now it really adds a whole new meaning to that name, Oprah. Okay, Harpo backwards, Harpo Marx, Karl Marx.
Right.
You can start making these connections. It's there. It's there to attack our subconscious minds.
Absolutely, Don, and of course they're using their main media tool for media conveyance, and that's the boob tube to sell Oprah.
Yes.
To the massive, I don't know who these people are, but I do know some in my family from the city area, and they would say how great she is, and I'd say, well, you got to be kidding me. She's just a front for a large corporation. Global activity. She's just the front. I mean, the few times I've allowed myself to just study her a little bit, it's a waste of time. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
And obviously, she came out of nowhere. Somebody buoyed her right up into stardom and floated her boat with lots of cash. And why? What's so great about her? I really don't see anything significant about this woman. And then when she was really promoting Barry Sotoro for president, that's when it became crystal clear that that's exactly what she's all about. And that might have been out of all her years, Don, as a showpiece for these big corporations behind the scene. That might have been her grand finale. Her main act of all her years with shows, it was to get ready to sell Barry Sotoro to the public because, I mean, the public obviously went for it big time.
Yeah, I've made these types of connections, you know, doing the genealogical research that I've done, and often, I mean, it's there right in front of our faces,
mm-hmm.
and we don't see it. We get caught up in the glitz and the promises. You know, I had this discussion this evening with somebody. Why doesn't the media tell us what's really going on? I said, duh. don't you see that it's a tool for mass mind control? It's being used on the one hand to promote consumerism, okay? To promote consumption.
That's right. Both crap.
Yeah.
Crap too.
Yeah, worthless stuff. I mean, they made sure. Do you remember, you're old enough to remember this, there was a time, and this was the late 50s, but primarily the early 60s, with the advent of the transistor. And from what I know, the transistor was in the control of the Rockefeller cartel. And the transistors were patented here in the United States. And they were, the rights, the licensing of those patents was given to the Japanese, who are very hard, industrious people. And they have a long-standing tradition. And I'm not speaking about, I don't want to get into the pretext of world war and the military-industrial complex. I'm speaking about the regular Japanese people. They're brilliant people. They're very devoted people. They have a rich culture. They honor mm-hmm. the elderly. They honor the many traditions. Japan,
sure,
for such a long time, was a feudal system. And so the people developed martial arts. And martial arts was incorporated into their everyday culture and their history. And it goes back thousands of years. And their foods and their art and their music, all these things they have such a rich history. Now, we gave them the transistors, and the big joke back in the early 60s, you remember they used to import things like made out of bamboo and toothpicks and these little parasol umbrellas, the ones that Steve Martin craved in the movie The Jerk to have in his little wine coolers, you know.
And then it evolved to, you know, cheap transistor radios.
They mass-marketed transistors by creating devices that operated almost exclusively on solid-state components. You could power them with a 9-volt battery, and you had a very primitive kind of dial, and there were some companies that came out that became very popular, Aiwa, Denon. Denon was foremost in the development of CD recorders and CD technology.
Right.
But this is, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but they came out with the I think the most brilliant product they came out with was the Sony Trinitron television. And remember, it had a 13-inch screen, and it had a crystal clear picture. It was better than any other picture on the market.
Yes.
And it was reasonably inexpensive to make, but they were making them overseas, and there was no competitive market, so it justified them selling it for hundreds of dollars more than what it should have been sold for. And that fell under the purview of Standard Oil of New York, otherwise known in Japan and around the world today as Sony.
Yep, that's the real eye-opener right there, Don.
Okay, that really started the Industrial Revolution, which eventually was a cookie cutter and modeled after that original creation of Sony. You had other companies, I'm not knocking the Japanese companies, they're all very industrious. Yamaha was making acoustic pianos and motorcycles almost exclusively. And then they started more recently coming out with lots and lots of other musical instrument products and buying out other companies and incorporating their products under their company banner.
Yeah.
They have a high work ethic, and they have very good quality control, so they produce consistently functioning products. The Japanese...
Let's always remember... when we hear, when we discuss this information regarding Japanese and their industrious abilities, and we always have to, and how good they are and efficient and all that, we always have to remember we taught them all of that as far as how to do it. Not to be industrious per se, but in order to bring up all these technologies, just like we've been doing with Communist China over the last 15, 20 years,
mm-hmm.
we... as Americans, showed them how to do it all.
Yes.
And that's what always annoyed me, because, of course, back in that time frame, Don, as you know, I was employed at IBM and building semiconductors, first as a chemist in photolithography, then full-blown semiconductor engineering. And we gave it all away. We keep giving everything away. And I used to say for years, why are we taking our most advanced technologies and giving it to competitors, countries that are going to clearly become major competitors? And it only took 15, 20 years. In the beginning, it was always, cheap Japanese stuff.
It was the laughing stock, wasn't it, of the industrial world?
That's right.
And then the Philippines. Korea and the Philippines became...
like early Japan.
Yeah. Now, isn't it interesting that out of those three countries, at least two of them played a major role in the international gold heist that that occurred.
Yeah, it is always interesting how there's this kind of subversive activity behind it all, involving vast amounts of money.
Mm-hmm. Again, I'm hearing Captain Kirk trying to get through, or Scotty. Maybe it's Scotty. Captain,
Scotty,
the engines won't stand no more pressure.
I need those lithium crystals, Jim.
Oh, anyway. Well, the reason I bring this up, because this has been an ongoing pattern. It was part of NAFTA and CAFTA, and it's going to be also, you know, under the umbrella of cap and trade, which is another Ponzi scheme. And meanwhile, we're hearing now that certain Democratic leaders are saying, someone mentioned this to me just this evening before the show, that several of members of the Democratic Party now are saying that the short-legged Mac Daddy is actually even less popular and less competent than Jimmy Carter.
Well, that's an all-time low.
Yeah, that is. And you know, Carter played a big role in all of this stuff, too, that we're talking about.
That's very true. And all of this was occurring around that time frame when he was just coming on board as president, and we did sink to an all-time low. And in addition to everything we just covered, well, let's also include the fact, very interesting, that American patents used to be good for approximately 15 years, Don, all the way up into the late 80s. And all of a sudden, there was an impetus coming out of our government, those in serving our government, undermining, again, clearly, blatantly undermining American interests. And they decided that it wasn't good that our patents were secure for 15 years, and they reduced it to 3. So what that means is that all these great ideas generated by American intellectual productivity would be up for grabs in just 3 years. That doesn't even give them enough time to exploit their concepts and to benefit from it themselves before it's up for grabs. And who's grabbing it? Well, the Japanese, the Chinese, the Russians. So we've been bombarded with a constant undermining. Everything that's traditionally American by concept being undermined constantly by those in our own government, undermining all our interests. And here we are now, a few decades later. And that's why we're in this situation. NAFTA, CAFTA, where they're more like the nails in the coffin for the United States of America.
Yeah. Now, in essence, what they did, I mean, the offshoring of our jobs and our technologies and really, it's another form of treason, but. When they give away technology, you know, what happened to the inventor of the transistor? What did that person sign his life away? Was that person murdered like a microbiologist?
Well, you know, Don, that's when it comes to the transistor and the inventor, I don't think anybody took credit for that individually. It's very interesting.
Well, it's quite possible that was an alien technology, wasn't it?
I believe we discussed this just recently, and again, from all my experience, being right in the center of cutting-edge technology for about a decade, it looks like it's a mysterious technology as far as its where it's derived from, its origins. And from all my studies at this point in time, you know, we're told that it's extraterrestrial. But, Don, it could very possibly be Nazi technology.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed a lot of sophisticated tool work to bring up semiconductors. You need very powerful microscopes called scanning electron microscopes, SEMs.
Mm-hmm.
We're told that the Germans did not have them. They were invented like in the 60s. But I've got photographs of a Nazi's using an SEM. And I used to use SEMs as well, very, very critical for semiconductor research. And so is it extraterrestrial or terrestrial? I'll tell you right now, it's a toss-up because it could be totally terrestrial. But at the same time, I'm also convinced that the Germans, the Nazis, were making progress with establishing contact with either extraterrestrial or multidimensional entities, and that this is where these concepts were being acquired. Some form of a contact and an exchange. The Nazis were so deep into esoteric activity that the average person will just never comprehend it. It's because it's so mind-blowing. But
yes,
that's how it was, and probably still is, I'm sure, with those Nazis of the Fourth Reich.
Yeah. I see parallels between certain aspects of digital technology and digital software as having the capacity to interface with certain ET technologies.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, this becomes evident when one forensically examines a photograph. There is a cross-platform way of comparing data, and I have seen I've seen the language. The encoding is like nothing else that you see. I mean, computer programs can be very complex and still be in the realm of what's called a WYSIWYG program, if you
mm-hmm.
get my meaning.
Right.
The command line structure of any program really determines what it's capable of doing. And I see many, many areas where our, let's say some of this is our development or our technology. Where did this come from in the beginning? Do we credit Al Gore to yet another fantastic feat in the area of computer technology and design and, you know, the internet, and now he's invented global warming? Of course, that one, that language hasn't been determined what the program's going to be totally. But this insanity of shoving fiction down our throats as the reality, while they build up a pseudo-reality, a technological pseudo-reality, that can function on a multi-dimensional level. They use the media for that, you know, to affect our psyches and to develop dysfunctional mental patterns, all ultimately focused and you know, determined to, or hoped to turn us into consumers, okay? And they still treat us like producers, even though the power of production has been removed through these programs that you're talking about, the offshore sellout of our corporations after they raid the pension funds, you know, the retirement funds.
Mm-hmm.
It's a repeated pattern. If they can fit some new or older existing technology by hijacking it into the military-industrial complex, they will find a way to weaponize cottage cheese.
Absolutely, Don. No,
okay.
No question about it. Everything has been hijacked. A lot of up till the last 30 years, most inventions was entrepreneurial activity where you had all kinds of competition occurring in our country, and people's very sharp minds constantly advancing technological concepts, and that was really what was thrusting mm-hmm. ahead the technology age that we're caught up in. And all of a sudden, though, it became obvious that everything was getting bought out, sucked up, taken over by larger corporations, and now we're at the point where there's no entrepreneurial activity anymore, and
mm-hmm.
everything's just coming from big corporations and through their universities that they control as well for extended research through university labs, And that's what it all came down to now. And it's stifling. It's stifling our creativity as a people, as a nation. And that's all by design.
Yeah. And they're not representing the truth about that status. I mean, they developed certain geographical regions of the United States, for example. And we could say this about any country in the world. But in particular right now, we're witnessing this in real time, folks. In the United States, the cities that were built on industrial production, Cleveland, I'm going to name the big cities. There are some smaller cities in the vicinity of cities like Cleveland and Detroit and Chicago and, you know, on and on. We can name major metropolitan areas where the auto manufacturers and the steel companies and the shipbuilding companies and on and on, and throughout all of industry was thriving because they made the best products in the world. They were reasonably priced. They could be afforded by anyone with a modest income, and actually gave people choices. Now, the choices were partially there to take advantage of psychological knowledge gained through all the experimentation of presenting products and finding ways to steer people's consciousness into a slave mentality. And things went, you remember, in the audio markets, you remember Macintosh amplifiers, for example, I have to rack my brain a little bit. Macintosh comes to mind because it was a tube amp that had a really extremely clear sound. And the company suffered because there were other manufacturers coming out that were making switching amplifiers that didn't rely so much on the tubes that drove the high frequency and the mid range and the bass range, or the basic power tube that was really making these amplifiers outperform anything else on the market. They were used by the professional studios. And then they came up with ways to integrate the circuits using, you know, transistors, various types of transistors, because we didn't just have field effect transistors. We also had power transistors that were capable of handling high amounts of current, so they could power really big speakers. Then all of a sudden it became, well, we have these switching amplifiers now, which are all integrated circuits, and they're more reliable, and you don't have to change the tubes. And then they started coming out with a new breed of audio speakers. Then they went to plastic components. I mean, today we have, I mean, it's appalling to see how many what are touted to be high-end products in the audio market are nothing more than plastic boxes with a bunch of advanced chips in them. They're all on integrated circuits now. There might be one little tiny circuit board and a basic power transformer that can reduce the current down to a usable level by these miniature circuit boards. Then we had the study and the development of optical amplifiers and non-switching amplifiers, Class A amplifiers, as they're called. And these companies went by the wayside very quickly. They came out, they had a few good years, and they disappeared off the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. This was found in the automotive market, the same practices. We could make a car that lasts forever, a friend of mine that works for U.S. Steel says. When we're designing the doors and the panels, all the various fenders, and the hood, and the trunk, and the underbody, the chassis.
Sure, even the exhaust system. It could be aluminum.
It could last forever. And
that's
they're
right.
Told...
Just make it out of aluminum, and it'll never rust on you.
Yeah, but they're too busy putting aluminum in drinking water. So,
that's more important.
Or the waste products, you know, of the man.
That's right.
They're too busy building tanks and airplanes with aluminum.
That's right, and cookware.
Yeah, and I suppose missiles too. You know, we can. But the point I'm making here is that in almost every case, they've developed the technology, and then they have found a way to introduce it into the military-industrial complex. And then you lose jobs. When these companies fold up, you lose all these specialized jobs. These were
That's
some
right.
of the most brilliant audio engineers
That's right.
that were developing these products. And some of them made a second comeback. I remember SAE coming out with some really good equipment, but there were issues with the switching devices in them. One, when you power the unit on, there was a delay, maybe a 5-second delay, while the thing was powering up, making sure that all the proper components were equally getting the proper amount of current through their circuitry, and then you'd hear a click and a light would come on and the amp now is functioning. And sometimes those relays, those switching devices, didn't perform well. So the company suffered losses by having to accept these devices back or to have them repaired under warranty. And then all of a sudden, it became an issue that you couldn't get a hold of anybody from any of these companies. They had phone numbers in America, but someone from another country answered the phone and didn't even speak English. Or mm-hmm. or you would send a letter, you would send a complaint, you would file a lawsuit, or at least an introductory letter from your lawyer to try to get these people to uphold their end of the bargain. And it wasn't being done. And it seems like we become tolerant of the fact that when you call up Apple Computer or Microsoft or any computer manufacturer, and most software manufacturers, even though they advertise the numbers are here in the United States, you get somebody that doesn't even speak English in India, for instance.
Yes.
Of all places.
Well, you know, and in fact, Don, just recently, over the last, I would say, year, there was an article in a local paper here of how IBM was developing a new software so that those folks in India could they can't speak English properly enough, because apparently a lot of Americans such as you and I, every time I would hear somebody that wasn't an American, when I needed some kind of customer service support, and I would find, are you in the United States? No, we're over in India. Well, could you please connect me with a customer service branch in the United States, please? And so I guess a lot of people were doing that because, of course, we all know we have to support American businesses, American enterprises first. I was always polite, and I said, "Listen, I know you're just working, and you know, and I respect that and everything, but I'm an American, mm-hmm. and I have my own country that I'm concerned about right now, mm-hmm. and so please connect me with an American department." And so, because of this, must be pretty. Constant American attitude with foreign offshore customer service report from all these big corporations that what the giveaway is that they're not speaking fluent English. That's how we know right off the bat, of course. So they're trying to develop a software that they can use so that when they do talk to us, they sound like us.
Yeah.
So that's what they want to do with technology. You know, it's always being used for more cover up, for more control, for more manipulating the masses and keeping them off the path of being independent and self-reliant.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yep, that's a prime example right there. And of course, through IBM and IBM built up
yeah.
by Americans. IBM
now,
was built up by Americans, and now they're no longer loyal to those Americans.
Yeah, you would expect that. I'm not saying people in India shouldn't have a job, especially you know in the software industry. Many of the people who are key figures in the computer industry come from India, or from Pakistan, or many from Middle Eastern companies, or from China, or Russia, and. There is a lot of training that goes hand in hand with this. Why can they not service their people in their country and our people who are desperate for jobs,
right,
have the retain the jobs that they had in the beginning?
That's right, exactly.
We are witnessing treason on not just in the political arena, but in the military, industrial, congressional complex arena as well.
What is very clear is that they're just taking the rug from out from under our feet. That's all they're doing now. They are doing everything they can to pull the plug on the USA and its productivity.
They've been announcing the past few days that the recession is over. The economy is looking brighter. Of course, we have to fix a few things. Oh, yeah. They fix professional sports. We know that. they fix amateur
professional
sports.
Wrestling, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it needed to be fixed. But
you know, and so obviously, now that the recession's over, I guess we can all take out our credit cards again and go deeper in debt.
Yeah, but do you think, you know, when they say, well, you know, we have all these foreigners coming over here to do jobs Americans don't do or
right.
won't do. No, Americans won't be robbed blind by some political hacks that are receiving illicit payments of all types and secret offshore bank accounts that are being padded by lobbyists, thousands of lobbyists that outnumber them probably 20 or 30 to 1 at least.
At least.
Maybe more. And to lie to us and give us this rhetoric that, well, you know, these people are able to do the job. Americans won't do the job. These jobs belonged to Americans, and to say that the economy is healing or becoming improved when the opposite is true. More people are losing their jobs.
That's right, Don.
Than ever before.
It's just incredible. They have the audacity to actually make such a statement. I mean, what American in their right mind is going to believe that? Just because they say, oh, well, the recession's over now, so everything's going to start looking good. I mean, where's the evidence of that? As I tell everybody, no jobs, no economy. No matter what they tell you, if you don't see an influx of jobs coming back into the United States, and we're talking real jobs, jobs in technology, the middle class and upper middle class sector jobs that created a middle class and an upper middle class. If we don't see those kind of jobs being generated or coming back into this country, there never will be a turnaround in the economy. It's impossible. I mean, it's just simple math.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I was always hoping, Don, when it became obvious to me that they're giving away our most advanced technologies to Japan and China and Korea, that I was hoping that what they were going to simply do was just fool them into believing that they were going to be catching up to us when in reality they wouldn't be if we were only to bring out a whole new generation of technology that makes all that current semiconductor technology obsolete already.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't do that.
Michael, let's look for just a second at the manufacturing of an American flag. Doesn't matter on the size. You see now a tag in some cases that's way out of proportion with the flag itself, and it'll say Made in China on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is how you destabilize a country, how you cause a country to crumble within, that there isn't a company anywhere in this country that is capable of mass producing American flags without putting Made in China on it. Use your brains, folks. If you're out there and you make flags for a living or made them at one time, start making the Chinese flag and put Made in America on it.
There you go.
Just to balance it out, okay? Because eventually it won't matter where the flag is made. Their intention is to get rid of it, you see?
Yes.
You have to read between the lines. You have to play chess and understand that you think 10 moves ahead. This is where
right.
we are headed. While they lie to us about what it is. Michael, you wrote a brilliant paper on the difference between producers and non-producers.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to bring that up again because it was so eloquent how you described the people who are producing and the non-producers who are the leeches and the parasites of society. They happen to be those in the government. They happen to be those that consider themselves to be our leaders when in reality they are our servants. They've just
That's
got
correct.
It all backwards as they do everything it's else.
Throw upside down. That's correct, Don. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I wanted you to comment on that again in light of the rhetoric that we're hearing right now because
That's right.
the situation is getting worse. The value of the dollar is propped up by bogus documents and bogus securities and representations of wealth where it's already been stolen. It's non-existent. But they keep the rumor going. They keep the lies going that have the average people hoodwinked into thinking, well, the jobs aren't there, so what am I going to do? Well, I have to go on welfare. You see, they make everyone dependent, and then when they cut the cord, the umbilical cord, to those free programs, all those people are going to be desperate for survival.
Yes, and that desperation is going to increase in magnitude by the next obvious blatant move, as they cut off our agricultural productivity. They've shut us down from being productive with technology, and now, so they're going to, of course, wipes out basically the middle class and causes many people to be getting in a desperate situation as they try to provide for themselves and their families.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in addition, with these new acts of treason coming out of the traitors in Washington, D.C., what we're looking at is with the Obama health care plan, where they're trying to sneak in these laws where it will be illegal to have a garden and or to sell any of your produce. Like if you have you've been blessed and you have a nice crop to harvest and you have a little stand out in front of your house on the road there and you're selling to your locals as they drive by and they're coming by and picking up some nice, fresh, ripe fruits and veggies that are going to keep them healthy, and they're going to try to shut all that down. And so what is the motive for that? There's only one motive. That's to starve us,
mm-hmm.
to say, you're going to starve, you're not going to work, you're going to be broke, and we're going to starve you to death. I mean, it's just, you know, they might as well just tell us, look, kill yourselves, because if you don't, we're going to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's the next step. And so they're shutting down all our productivity. And, of course, referring to that article where the bottom line of that article was that a country has a simple mathematical equation. And when you use that equation, you can determine whether or not your country has a future. And it's simple. There's only two types of people in a country, and that are the producers and then the non-producers. And when your country has a great high percentage of producers versus non-producers, then that means you have a booming economy because producers are making things that people want and need and therefore willing to purchase it, and profits constantly being generated. The more products being produced, manufactured, the more profit being generated, the greater the economy goes. It's the engine that spurs the economy on.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you inverse that relationship and now you have a high percentage of non-producers in the country and a very low percentage of producers, then you have no future because nothing's being made. And we have to realize as well that in this simple equation that producers are generating profit and they're earning their way through life. Nobody's handing them anything. They're earning
mm-hmm.
it. But non-producers don't make anything like government jobs. They don't make anything. Nothing's being sold for profit. And rightfully so, because governments have no right being in business. And that's why there shouldn't be any government departments at all, because they don't make anything. So how do they pay their employees? All their employees, how do they get paid? Simple. They have to go to the producers and tax them. That's where the money comes from. And so people say, but Mike, they can just print it right off. The government makes the old money today, and they can just pay them that way. Yes, but still, every time they print that note of debt, they have to tax the American producers more to cover that note of debt.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bottom line is, every time there's a new non-producer, another producer's being taxed harder. And so your country will never have a future when you have a high percentage of non-producers. And ideally, you don't want any non-producers in a country. Imagine a country with no non-producers at all. Your country would be a rocket taking off with never looking back.
But it must be ordained that the producers are for whom the producers are producing. You know, I don't know how you feel about someone who attests to being the world's messiah, spending all of his time moving from a golf outing to a vacation, a lavish, opulent, obscenely opulent a vacation where enormous amounts of troops provide security, personal assistance, we're paying massive hotel bills, massive fuel expenses, in a time where you know we're in the dialectical argument about the origins of oil, and we're witnessing the tabs at the Waldorf Astoria in the hundreds of dollars for lunch.
That's right.
Lobster for lunch, champagne for lunch, lobster for dinner. Have they invented lobster cereal yet? I guess
they might have it for themselves. But
watch out, coming next week, lobster-flavored Pop-Tarts, okay? And maybe...
And with caviar.
And crab, yeah.
Now, Don, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because that allows me to also mention regarding this incredible loser of a president. We have this foreign-born guy pretending to be our president. And recently, as you know, he had the audacity to state that he expects our military personnel to cover their own medical expenses when they get injured, harmed in service to our country.
Oh, yeah, he said they enlisted. Yeah, they enlisted. They weren't drafted, so they have to pay for this.
He goes, look, now here's the arrogance and audacity of this loser, as he has the nerve to say to us, look, it's an all-volunteer force. Nobody made these guys go to war. They had to have known and accepted the risks. Now they whine about bearing the cost of their choice? It doesn't compute, says Spock. Well, let me tell you something, Obama. You're putting them into those positions of war. They're not jumping up and down saying, send me abroad. You're forcing them abroad. You're exposing them to this unnecessary conflict, and they should be home. And so don't tell us. And then when you recruit these poor green-eared kids into service that are desperate looking for a job because there's no more jobs at home, when you sucker them in, you entice them with great college education and all these lucrative offerings and benefits, and so they jump at it because there's no other opportunities that they can come across, and then you pull the rug out from under their feet, as you always do, you snakes. And then now you even tell them, hey, you got hurt, tough luck, you got to foot your expense. And the same way with Slick Willie too, during his 8 years of administration, and even with GW, they were pulling the same crap on our military personnel. And here they are blowing millions and millions on their vacations and their big lunches and dinners, flying around our country like jet setters, like movie stars. And then they have the audacity to tell us such comments like this. And, I'm just waiting for the American people to have enough of this because, as you know, Don, I don't tolerate this kind of crap. When it's a traitor and it's a crook, there's only one way to handle them. You dispose of them. There's no other way. You get them in court, you prove they're traitors and crooks, and you hold them accountable, especially for the traitors, and you hang them You hang them high, you hang them fast, because that's the only way to get things back into control. They won't go away. They're not going to just disappear as we tell them we don't want you anymore. No. It's either they're going or we're going. And with this kind of attitude that they're showing with our military right now, I'm just waiting for the military to finally step right up and do the right thing, gentlemen in the military. Let's do the right thing now. We know who the enemy is. It's not the Iraqis. It's not the Iranians. It's not the Afghanistans. It's not any of those poor people over there that we have no business getting in their face. They're no threat to us. The enemy's in Washington, D.C. Let's do the right thing.
Yeah, Michael, we have a usurper in office who is a crackhead, according to Larry Sinclair. You have two prior presidents who are cokeheads. The one before those three was known as Poppy for his you know, I mean, you can
right.
take four of them and relate them to the illegal drug trade. And then Reagan, who was a B-movie actor before he became the governor of California,
mm-hmm.
and he was popular, but much the same way he was a puppet. He could deliver the speech.
Yes, he could.
Okay.
He could. And he was controlled. And,
yeah.
That's right, Don. That's right. Exactly. This is our situation here. This is where all our troubles are coming from, emanating from. It's Washington, D.C., not a foreign country, not a foreign people, only those representing us in our government and the foreign agents serving the cabal of international bankster families. Again, the usual suspects, the Schwarzschilds, the Rockefellers, and their cabal, and all their foreign agents that they have infiltrating our government through these lobbyists primarily, and then the outright control over the congressmen and senators as they get elected.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where all our trouble's coming from. And our military, God bless them, please, let's do the right thing here now, and let's get rid of the real enemy. And I want our military home, ASAP, where they belong. And cleaning up our own backyard.
Yes. Well, Michael, you're a shining example of somebody who moved out of the corporate world, regardless of your personal reason for doing so. You moved out of that that company that has become a major part of the military industrial complex, and you lead by example. You started marketing your own products in the healthcare industry, and they are effective products. You haven't even brought them up tonight. I'm the one bringing it up.
Thank
just
you, Don.
As a demonstration of you becoming, continuing to be a producer. You were a producer for that company. We've talked about that on past shows, and I'm sure there's probably a lot that you'd like to share sometime with the listeners.
There's a lot we could cover.
In that regard, but your love is for music, and your love is for helping people to be healthy and to be happy and to see the truth about who they are, to know themselves, not just physically and mentally, but spiritually, because ultimately this is really a spiritual confrontation that's occurring.
Absolutely, Don. That's the primary essence of this game we're caught up in. And, Don, I appreciate you saying that, and I really do, because it's true. I quit those guys, and I walked away from them. And so many people were stunned that I worked with because, number one, they couldn't do that because I'm single. I didn't have a family to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were I was amazed when that time came and I left how many people I knew were actually jealous that I could do that. I was very surprised to see that, but I realized, sure, they're not happy there. They want to leave too, but they can't. And I could. And that really made some jealous. And then the others were like, what are you, crazy, Mike? I had a great job. I was blessed. The Lord always blesses me. And I'm very lucky. And I had a great, I earned a great reputation there. I had a lot of respect. I had a great job. And those other people were stunned that I was leaving. And but I knew they were Nazis. I realized at that point the Lord had shown me they were Nazis, and I gained everything I could personally from that experience working there, and it was time for me to move on, and the timing was great to get my health products that I designed as a scientist out to people to start helping people, and then as well done the music, and the music almost kept connecting, but doors kept closing. But this time around with you, Don, pretty soon when I present you with some really nice material, I'm looking forward to doing a lot more productive music work with you, Don. And things are looking really great. The Lord is good. And I don't know what else to say all the time except that we as a people and individually, because that's right, Don, everything's spiritual. Not religious, spiritual. And I just know from my own personal experience that it's the Lord. He is the key to happiness. He's the key to that, discovering that peace that passes understanding, that nobody can appreciate or understand until you get it. Once you get it, you realize, wow, it's beautiful. Because even when there's chaos all around me and things are unraveling, not in my personal world, things always keep working out. Yes, there's always challenges. There's always obstacles. There's always frustrations. That's the world we're in. But they're all tests to test our metal. And when we just prove that our metal is strong, then lo and behold, the good Lord reaches down and picks us up and brings us up and helps us to overcome these obstacles, all these challenges. Next thing you know, we're progressing again forward. Mm-hmm. Where things constantly remain in a positive frame rather than a negative frame. And that can only happen when we live in a proper spiritual context. And I don't know any other way to do that except through having the Lord in our lives, and that is Jesus the Christ. I don't know any other way. I see everybody else trying other ways, and they don't seem to find what I found. And I think that's because I found the Lord first. And then I pursued the kingdom of heaven once I learned what it really was, which is a power. And we covered that in the past, and I look forward to covering that in the future again. And I didn't let anything go. I had opportunities to become materialistic. Just go for the money, Mike. Don't worry. Look at the easy life you'll have, Mike. Just pursue the money. Hang out with these guys. You're in with them. I didn't go for that. I always went for doing the right thing and always working hard for everything I had, not looking for an easy way, just working for it. And always doing it the right way, honest way. And I never allowed myself to get materialistic, never allowed myself to become selfish. I always had sympathy for everything around me that I knew needed help with things, whether it was people or animals, anything. Always being sensitive to others. And lo and behold, over time, so many struggles, Don, since I quit IBM. Things didn't just go red carpet for me, no. I had a struggle, but I would never take handouts or anything, just kept working in various trades that I had as skills growing up until I could bring everything together where I could then just concentrate on other things that weren't so menial in tasks like laboring, physical labor. I did a lot of that after I quit IBM, fall back on. Yeah. And so, you know, I don't know any other way, Don, but doing things the right way. And sometimes we have to let go of things that seem like they're good, but on the inside we know they're really not for us. They're not really good in the long run. Like, I got a lot of friends still at IBM. They're all miserable. They're all miserable. And so in the long run, you see, you think something's good for you, but on the inside you know it's really not, because in the long run it's going to wear you down because you're not going to be happy. If you're not happy, there's a lot of negative energy accumulating when you're not happy, and that's going to take you down.
Yeah. Well, Michael, we're about out of time. You know, I'm reminded of something that we discussed earlier in the show, and that's regarding the customer service of certain companies having moved offshore, as if Americans aren't capable of and not educated enough to represent American or alleged American products. So many products are being manufactured out overseas now that it really doesn't matter if the person who's offering customer service via some 800 number, a person with no name, they can basically tell you whatever they want. They might as well be on the moon as far as that's concerned, because they've disconnected themselves totally from their customer constituents or constituency. And then at the same time, and many of these jobs, as we said, ended up in India. On some service calls over the years, do you realize I've gotten to speak to the customer service rep in India for this particular company, and I recognize him by the sound of his voice now. I know him by name. He knows me. And you make a friend. It's not that we're against people having jobs. He could be servicing all the people in his country. India has many, many more people than we do in the United States. And so the need for providing service to those people is that many more times manifested in just by the numbers.
Absolutely, Don.
Then we have the dichotomy. If I could say one more thing, Michael. We have the dichotomy with another company, Monsanto, who has hoodwinked many of the Indian farmers into using herbicide-treated GM foods that are being grown, and these guys cannot make the payments. If they lose honor, they lose faith. In India, in certain regions of the country, it is so important to them not to lose faith, not to be able to support their family or produce a quality product that's not going to make somebody sick or be an unnutritious product. We're talking about selling nourishment that's unnourishing or that has side effects because of all the unknowns that are in these products. Now, who's going to replace those people? Who gets those jobs, you see? Who's going to be blackmailed into or extorted into accepting one company's seed that invades otherwise virgin crops? And I say virgin crops, meaning they're not
natural.
Crossbred.
That's right, natural strain crops, that's right.
Yeah, so we have that dichotomy going on there. And it seems to me, rather than blame the farmers, the problem is that company, Monsanto. And in the case of the computer manufacturers and the software companies, the service problems and the language barriers that exist, because you have people that have a limited amount of a language, and I'm not saying everybody should speak English. If I'm using a French product, I should be able to speak French, and I should be able to communicate with a French service
when
representative.
In Rome, that's right. When in Rome, then be like the Romans, absolutely.
Or have someone representing that product in this country who speaks
that's
English.
That's right.
I should not have to press 2 for Spanish.
That's exactly right, Don. You got it. And so what you're hitting right on the head, Don, is you see they're forcing us all these countries into this global system, and it's obviously totally insane. And the Indian people, we all know that as people, we'll all get along. No matter what country they're from, what somebody else is from, we'll all get along. Even whatever religion is, it doesn't matter. When we meet as person to person, we always usually get along because we're just people. We all realize we have so much in common. And so they just want us, though, to get caught up in this globalism stuff and have one area of the globe that all manufacturing will be centered on, another area where it's just customer service related, another area like our country, which I believe they just want to turn into wilderness, where there's no civilization at all. I mean, that sure looks like their agenda here. They don't want people owning property anywhere here, and to drive out all forms of civilization.
Yeah.
And try to consolidate all into tight urban centers, and that's all they want to do with our country. It seems that I don't see anything else that they want to do with us anymore as far as these international financiers are concerned. And so we have to break away from all this. And just like you perfectly said, people in India, you know, I like it. I definitely get along fine with you. I bless you. I say good luck to you. I hope, I wish you well and your country well. But I need to worry about my country and deal with Americans so I know my brother and sister Americans are having opportunities here at home to succeed, to better themselves for them and their family. And I wish everybody else the same thing in their countries. But we have to realize we have to all be independent as countries.
The people are the countries. You know, just like in religion, the people are the church. The people are the countries.
That's right.
That's as simple as that. And the servants in the government are merely that. They've wrestled with this issue since they began it, and it's time we wake up and smell the coffee and turn this around. Michael, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for your comments tonight. Right on point. You bring a lot of clarity to the muddy confusion that's peddled by the mainstream media, and I appreciate you being on the show. We're going to have you on early in October, by the way. So be planning
that's
on
great.
That, and I'll be in touch with you, you know, about the specific date.
Well, I look forward to that as always, Don, and it's always a privilege and pleasure for me to join you on your great show, Don, and I thank you very much for the opportunity.
Okay. Michael, Anthony, thank you for being on the show tonight. Have a great evening. Look forward to your next visit. And, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Michael's private stock, which is his herbal remedies, are seen on directlightproductions.com. Go to my sponsors page. Just click on Michael Anthony, and his products page will pop up there. His contact information is there. He's happy to consult with you at no charge. And I encourage you, if you want to inform yourself more on that that issue, those topics regarding your health, certainly Michael is an excellent source of very honest and truthful, cutting-edge information. And it's not dogmatic, and I'm proud to feature his products on my website. His contact information is there at the bottom of the Michael Anthony page, so be sure to get in touch with him. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network. On the sound tonight, Seth Hendrick at bbsradio.com. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you for listening in. I want to especially thank those that have gone out and sort of put their foot down and demand that that people that do cutting-edge research, original research, if you want to call it that, their own research, be credited thusly, and stop taking credit for the work of others. There's enough charlatanism and cronyism going on in the world today, in the financial community, in governments, in the health industries, and in the military-industrial complex. We don't need to be turning on each other. That said, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. Be sure to tune in tomorrow night for Drew Malone, Reigns III. And in the meantime, have a good night.